You ever feel that way when it comes to baptism? You got somebody chasing you around with a cup of water. They're going to get you. You're going to get baptized. Well, today I want us to talk about that goes with baptism. And really that comes before baptism. And it's called confession. Just look at your neighbor and say, I'm going to check what I confess. I'm going to check what I confess. Come on. Go now. We got to work today. We're going to move quickly today. So I want you to be ready to get. I'm going to check what I confess. So I'm going to take you. I don't usually do this, and I don't like doing this, and I warn you against this, but I'm going to do it today. I want to give you three key places in Scripture that Hillview looks at that says, this is what we confess. This is what we confess. First place I want you to go is John 3:16. This is what we confess. I want to give you three things. First thing you got to be confessing here at Hillview is something that we believe. Now, these are beliefs. If you're going to hang out at Hillview, this is a core belief today. This is the nature of this church. We believe all human beings have sinned. We believe all human beings mess up. Now, how many of y'all can live with that? All human beings have messed up. Now, I know some of you are looking at me right now. You're going, Pastor Steve, but I believe people are really good, basically good. Well, you're not old yet. And that's great. I want you to believe. Now, I'm not saying people are just these horrible creatures, but I'm saying our nature doesn't lean to do the best things. I'll give you an example. It would be better to be healthy than be unhealthy. Would you agree? However, when I open our cupboard, I will naturally reach for things that taste better than things that are healthy. Any of y'all have the same problem? Like, if there's a bag of Snickers up on that shelf, or some of those Quaker rice cake things that my wife, you know, cardboard cookies or whatever, I'm eating the Snickers. I found in my life that I will lean toward my sinful nature if not interrupted by a divine call. It kind of puts it like this. I'd rather do what I want to do than what God wants me to do naturally. But the good news is we have a way to do what God wants us to do. Because here's what I want you to know. Here's our second confession. We believe people are sinners, so we believe people need Jesus. Are y'all okay with that? Now, I believe Jesus wants to save everybody. Now, you need to know there's a pastor. Now, I have a lot of pastors that disagree with me, and it's kind of popular now. Some pastors believe that, you know, there's these elect, and they know who they are. I don't know who they are, so I'm going to have to kind of hang out with my old buddy Charles Spurgeon from a century ago, who was a great preacher in London, and he said, God, save all the elect, and after you've done that, elect some more. So I'm going to hang out with Charlie and say, God desires for you to be saved. That's one of our main issues here at Hillview. We want you to know that Jesus loves you and He has forgiven you and He wants to get to you. Is that cool? So first confession is people have sinned. Just look at your neighbor and say, you know, I've sinned. Can you come that far? I've sinned. Good. Now hold on. See, I need to get you to do that because guess what? You say, well, that's not a big deal. No, I'm going to tell you the truth. Everything in your world and my world today is taking away the sin notion. You don't have sin, you have a medical problem. You don't have sin, you have a behavioral problem. You don't have sin, you have a mental problem. No, you don't have sin. You have some kind of physiological thing that makes you do that. It's your DNA. No, we've sinned. We just absolutely rebel against God on some things. Here's how you know you're a sinner. You've broken the Ten Commandments. How many of you all have accomplished that? Amen. Oh, great. Dale, Mr. Brown, sir, it looks like we might want to hang them on the school wall, but in here we have 100% violation. So, you know, I'm not saying we need to disregard the Ten Commandments. Here's what I'm saying. We got to have something that puts the Ten Commandments in motion in us. What I'm telling you, the Ten Commandments alone aren't enough. And here, now they are enough, but they're not enough because you and I won't keep them. And even people that put them in their yard don't keep them. We break them and we become sinners. Is everybody cool? First thing, I got a problem. It's much like, I don't know, anybody in here ever done any 12-step work? Anybody done any 12-step work? Anybody here gutsy enough to say, hey, I'm an addict and okay, good, yeah, great. First step. Anybody know the first step? Huh? I'm powerless. So basically, what's the first step in the 12 steps? I'm a sinner. I got a problem. I can't quit. That's the first step. I have a problem that I can't change. First step of Hillview. I have sinned against God, and there's nothing I can do to change that situation. I can't be good enough. I can't go to church enough. I can't memorize enough Bible verses. I can't do it. Now, here's where I want to get you the good news. Second phase. We believe Jesus Christ forgives people of their sin. How many of you all believe that inside this church? That Jesus Christ is a great forgiver. Oh, I want to hear it a little better than that. No, hold on. Now, hold on. That's great. Man, God's doing some cool things in this service today. You just went beyond statement to confession. And we need to get into confession. This is kind of statement. If this helps you, ring a bell for you. Statement is kind of like golf clap. Good shot. Confession is like touchdown. Baptism is confession. God has done a great work in me, and I want to declare it. Now, I want to take you to the third chapter of the Gospel of John, 16th verse. You've seen this at NFL games and NBA games and where people gather. There are these signs that say John 3:16. That's actually a Bible verse if you've never read the Bible. I know that many Christians throw John 3:16 up, assuming that everybody's read the Bible. What's so confusing is most people haven't. So they don't know what that sign means. You know, at the John 3rd saw 16th toilet, who knows in the stadium what that means, unless you've been to what? Church. Here's the great assumption of the American church. Everybody thinks everybody's been. Here's the reality. Only 17% of the people in your community attend church on a regular basis. So here's what that just did. All your church words and all your little things that are only applied to a church community just went out the door. Because now you're going to have to declare the good news to the world. I have great news. John 3:16 is great news. I want you to look at it. Hillview really breathes in this verse. And I want to go over it today because here's what I'm talking about. What we confess creates our community. First of all, we confess that people are sinners. Second of all, we confess that Jesus is a Savior. We need Jesus. And here's what Jesus said. John 3:16. For God so loved the world. He loves what? How many of you at Hillview are glad to know that we love the world? Man, we love the world. Here's what God was saying. I love everybody in the world. God loves Africa just like He does Alverton. You know? He loves Budapest and Brownsville. Make sense? He loves Peru and Plano. He loves it all. God loves the world. How many of y'all glad to know we got a God of the world here? Not a God of my individual preference, but a God of the world. And here's what it says. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, the only one He had. He gave Him to the what? To the world. Now, this second confession is this. I can't do it, but God has sent it. Is this making sense to you? I can't forgive myself, but God sent forgiveness. God sent it. Now, follow me carefully here. How many of you all remember back in the early 80s, if you were around the church, they had this thing called a seeker's movement. You know, people were seeking God. But I want you to know the truth. God seeks you. And here's why I want you to know that. Okay? Guess what? God's not lost. You are. God's not lost. People say, well, I'm seeking God. Well, I didn't know He was lost. In fact, God's easily revealed. In fact, He reveals Himself through you. If we'll get this first attitude. Everybody needs the hope of God. Second attitude, Jesus is it. And I want to encourage you as a church, would you please go tell people about Jesus? Let me tell you what they don't want to hear about. They do not want to hear about the church in America. They don't. I don't want to hear about it, and I'm a believer. How much more a non-believer doesn't want to hear about it? Religion has sickened me to my soul. I tell you the truth. I'm so tired of hearing about right-wing politics, I wish they would just be politicians. Jesus never connected Himself to a political party. Never. See, when you follow Jesus, you won't end up being a Pharisee. It's when you follow the Pharisees that you end up acting like a Pharisee. Jesus was Jesus. He was the Son of God that so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Hillview, we confess that. How many of you all confess and believe that Jesus will bring you eternal life? That's a confession in this house. That's a confession in this house. Now, I want to teach you about confession. What you confess with your mouth, believe in your heart, will be activated. That's why it tells us in the Scripture, confess that Jesus is Lord with your mouth, believe it in your what? Heart, and thus it will be. Now, that's what God's saying to us. This is our mission. This is our purpose. We believe that people have sinned, and we believe that God has sent Jesus so that sin will be forgiven. How many of y'all are glad to know sin can be forgiven? And so it kind of works like this. Even though I messed up, God came on anyway. Does that help you get an identification of that? Even though here's what grace is. I want to give you what grace is. Grace is living the life I did not earn. I'm living a life I did not earn. I cannot earn my salvation, but I can participate in what is given. And that's all I'm asking us to do at Hillview, is to live the life we've been given. What if we just lived the life we've been given? Tell me about your life. It's grace. Does that make sense? Now, you can't earn it, so you got to receive it. Everybody go like this. Oh, come on. This is the motion of salvation. Receive it. Boom, maybe like this. I got to catch on to what... I got to receive it. And guess what everybody wants to do? How many of y'all want to go earn it? How many of y'all have kind of got a faith like this? Okay, I read my Bible today, and you take off running, and you come up in front of God, and you go, I read my Bible today. And He's supposed to go, good boy. You're not a dog. You're one of His precious creations that He loves deeply. And God is madly in love with you. He's so madly in love with you that for God so sent His only Son into this world that you and I didn't have to die, but we can live because He wants to forgive. That's a confession here at Hillview. And then we need to realize this. Go with me to Romans chapter 8, verse 35. I want you to know that God will not let go. And God will not let go. And the love of God will not let go. It's a confession that we have. Nothing separates us from the love of God, Harvey. Isn't that amazing? Nothing will separate us from the love of God. He's not going to let go. Go ahead and just tell your neighbor. He's not going to let go. Come on, I'm going to tell your neighbor. Come on, y'all talk among yourself. He's not going to let go. We'll let go. You know what? I want to apologize to some of you because I know some of y'all get bent when the church doesn't always come through. And I want to be really honest. The church won't always come through. Because the church is made up of people and sometimes they don't do the right thing. That's why I want to point you to Jesus, so you won't be disappointed. You know, I know people all the time, they get so disappointed in pastors. You know, they'll meet pastors and go, oh my God, can you believe that pastor did that? I get asked that question all the time. I go, yeah, they're human. I said, I don't know why you're surprised at that pastor. You've made a life of doing that. And you're just amazed that a pastor did it. They're made of humanity. And that's why I want you all to know the truth. If you're going to hang out at Hillview, it's not about worshiping teachers or pastors or human leaders. It's about worshiping Jesus Christ. For God sent Him, His name is Jesus, into this world so that we would not have to die. And when you follow Him, you get to live. It's not our love that'll stay with you. It's His love that'll stay with you. Because look what He says in Romans chapter 8, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Guess what the answer to that is? Nothing. And look what He says. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? It looks like to me that the problems of America have been around for a long time. I was watching the political caucuses yesterday. You know, war was mentioned, poverty, economic change, education, all of these issues, man, they've been with us. But what's going to stay with you? The love of Jesus Christ. And the issue of the day will not separate God from His cause. We confess that. We confess that, guess what, we've all messed up, but Jesus is going to clean us up, and Jesus will stay with us no matter what. We believe that here at Hillview. How many of y'all believe that? See, I want you to know what we believe. We believe that. And here's how deep it goes. What can? It says, okay, here's a possibility. Is there anything that will separate us from the love of God? Well, let's look at what the Word of God says. As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We're considered as sheep to be slaughtered. You know what Paul was saying? I can die for what I confess. Today, how many of y'all would die for what you believe in Jesus? Some of you would. But now let me help you. This is a good, you know, I hear that all the time. People go, man, I'd die for Jesus. These are people that attend church three times a year. You ain't dying. What's this? Here's the way I help you know. If you ain't tithing, you sure ain't dying. If you can't give a tenth, I know you ain't going to give everything up. See, here's what God does. God gives us little things to grow our faith in so that when the big things come, we'll stand in our faith. And that's the way you grow up. God's pretty cool. He doesn't say you have to run a mile right off the bat. God says, let's run a few sprints. Let's start walking. Then we'll walk fast. Then we'll jog. Then we'll sprint. Then we'll sprint for a long way. Then we'll run. Then we'll run where we never have to stop running. But God gives us some little disciplines along the way that build us up to the moment we get to stand. And He never leaves us. Look what He says. No, in all things we're more than conquerors through Him who loved us. We believe that Jesus Christ does something great in our lives. And that we don't have to be eliminated, but we get to live because our sins are forgiven. That's a neat deal, isn't it? We don't have to be eliminated. How many of y'all are glad to know you're never going to be separated from the love of God once you come into Christ? You're going to get better. Bottom line at Hillview, I came into Hillview messed up. I come into Hillview, I meet Jesus. I'm now living inside the community of Hillview Heights under the love relationship of Jesus Christ, and I'm getting better every day. That's the cause of Christ, in my opinion. What do you think? I've asked God for one mission today, this be as clear as possible. To be as pointed and clear. That's the gig here. You meet Jesus. Is there a Pastor Steve, am I able to come as I am? Oh, yes, but you won't stay as you are. Now, this is where people get confused at Hillview. Everybody looks at people on the arrival. Nobody talks to me about people that have been at Hillview for 5 years. You know why? Because they don't have anything to say. I've never heard anybody say, well, yeah, I've never heard anybody mention, what about that guy that came into Hillview? What about that girl that came into Hillview and their lives were totally messed up and they met Jesus Christ in a real upfront and personal way. And now 5 years later, their lives are totally, totally redesigned and they're living out the grace of God and they never have participated in all those things that killed them. How come the people don't talk about that? Because that declares evidence of the grace of Jesus Christ. Makes sense? They won't talk about somebody. Well, people tell me all the time, and say, you know there's people that have been at the bar that come to Hillview? No. And if that's you, you come on back next week. Amen? There's a lot of people that have been to the bar at Hillview. I saw you there. Yeah. Remember 10 years ago, Elizabeth, when we went to listen to some of our friends play at one of the clubs here? And it was so funny because preachers don't go to clubs in Bowling Green. You know what I mean? So I went downtown and I walked in and it was so funny. People started hiding their beer. I mean, Dr. Blevins, it was hilarious. Now, I'm not going to tell you what church they were from. They were like, it was almost like, what are you doing in here? I'm like, I'm listening to music. But it's this ridiculous double life we've created that has become a deep barrier for people to understand the love of God. Jesus Christ loves us where we are. And He welcomes us where we are. And then when we engage with Him and realize how much He loves us, as we live that out, we change. Amen? How many of y'all are not like what you used to be? Man, I'm not like what I used to be. You know what? I am so glad. Pam, you remember me. You were part of the reason we started all this stuff. You said I could come be the preacher here. Am I the preacher I used to be 18 years ago? Oh, thank God. If I was, you had to fire me. Because God had to grow me. Amen? Harold Carey, are you the same guy that I used to go when I was a young guy? Remember when you had hair and I was real young, okay? We go that far back, remember? Okay? Am I the same guy that came and talked to you at the Oakland Baptist Church when I was, you know, 18 years old, 19 years old? No. Are you the same guy? No. You probably had time in your life, you said, man, I ain't going to church that sings all that rock and roll music. You probably made that statement, didn't you? I mean, you was out there. You said, I ain't going to one of them praise and worship churches. And now he sits here in a rock and roll church going, oh, man, God is moving. Well, what did God do? He began to change our hearts. That's okay. It's all right to change. Somebody say, it's okay to change. But let me tell you what. This is what is so cool. And I'm going to be quiet. We're going to have an altar call. This is what is so neat. The love of God never changes. But the love of God changes me. You see, the love of God never changes, but the love of God is always changing me. That's the way this works. And we confess that. Because I gotta tell you what it says, and I just want to listen to what Jesus says, because you gotta know this. Here's how much we believe it here at Hillview. And if you're gonna be offended, you'll just have to be offended. If you would like a no offense church, come see me after the service and I'll tell you where they are in Bowling Green. We got a ton of them. They're just going to tell you you're lovely, you're wonderful, and thank you for showing up to church. I'm going to tell you the truth. You've shown up to church. That means you now have the opportunity to get something in your life that'll change you. If you don't get it, though, you're in the same spot you were in before you showed up. You don't get any points for coming to church. That means you've exposed yourself to the possibility. That don't mean you have it. You got to say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Lord Jesus, I believe you're dead. You died. I believe you went through death. And I believe 3 days later you came to life. And I want that in me. And I believe you love me and you won't leave. Because look what he says. Nothing's going to separate us from the love of God. It said not darkness. Look, you ready? Verse 37. No, in all things we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither present nor future or any powers, neither height nor depth or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Anybody want to take issue with that scripture? Anytime you tell another human being that they don't have the possibility of salvation, you take issue with that scripture. Now that's how serious that is. Now I want you to hear your pastor. And I want you to know, very honestly, I'm in conflict with a lot of pastors. I believe everybody has the opportunity to be saved. And I'm not going to change my mind. And it'll be 3 cold days in hell before any of you could even attempt to convince me otherwise. I don't care how many Larry King shows you get on. That doesn't impress me. The Word of God says, for whosoever. And that's what Jesus spoke in red letters, and Jesus Christ sealed that with red blood. And on the 3rd day, Jesus confirmed that and put that in motion with an empty tomb, and no man will be able to say different. Human beings can be changed by the grace of Jesus. All of them. I don't know any problem greater than grace. Death, life, demons, angels, principalities, government systems, economic situations, technological advances, human creation. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Isn't that cool? That's what it said. So when y'all see me get red faced and my little ears shoot back on my head, it's because of this. I believe you can be saved. And I don't believe another human being knows who's saved and who isn't saved. That's not human beings' business. Our business in the church is to declare that you can be saved. So here's what baptism's about. After you are saved, you need to confirm and confess you are. And I want you to hear that's important, okay? Once you say, Lord Jesus, come into my life, how many of y'all realize everybody gets to do that? Everybody can do that. Now, not everybody will, but everybody can. That's where I stand on. Because people ask me, as heirs, you believe there will be people go to hell? Absolutely. But it's not because Jesus wanted them to. I believe people reject the cross. Some of y'all in here have done that. You've had opportunities with grace, and what'd you do? You just refused them. What's Jesus supposed to do? Here's what I know about God. He won't make you be saved. And here's why. He can't love you if He makes you. God's got to love. And to love something, you got to embrace it. How many of y'all realize that, man, without Jesus, I'm not forgiven and I don't have a life that'll go on and I don't get to live to the fullest. But with Jesus, all things are possible. How many of you are glad to know that with Jesus, all things are possible? All things are possible. All things are possible. And so we got to be careful about how we judge people. For example, what do I have in my back pocket? Come on, tell me what I got in my back pocket. Skull? Mints? Skull? Copenhagen? Mints. Why did y'all say I had Copenhagen in my back pocket? Elizabeth said grizzly. She knows my preference. Hold on a second, though. How many of us make judgment without knowing the facts? You just did it. Look, you look. It looked what, John? It looked sinful. Let me tell you how pure these mints are. They're sugar free. But what was your immediate observation? Because some of y'all have some history with me. And you say, well, man, some of y'all probably said, man, I can't believe he got a can of dip in his pocket as he preaches the Word of God. Well, why not preach the Word of God with integrity than in hypocrisy? God says, I'm going to get you better the more I love you. Do y'all see that second confession? This is Scripture. And I want to give you the last thing. Baptism's important in that confession. Look what happened in Acts 2. I want you to go to Acts 2, chapter 2, Acts 2, verse 40. And I want you to see, I'm giving you three verses today that we hinge on here at Hillview. First of all, everybody can be saved. Just look at your neighbor and say, there's hope for you. Because this is a confession. There's hope for people. Now, Hillview, how many of y'all, watch this. Now, I'm going to crank down on this balcony. I know y'all been doing this because y'all got that cool glass and y'all look through a glass and y'all get this stuff. You ready? How many of y'all got somebody on your mind that needs to hear the story of Jesus? How many of y'all have got enough guts yet to start talking to them? Okay, well, just start talking to them. Now watch, here's what I want to help you with. Talking about Jesus will come natural if you just talk. Because I'm going to tell you what's happened. The devil's made a big deal about sharing your faith, not Jesus. You think people won't like you? You know what? I share my faith with a lot of people. Do I have a lot of people that disagree with me? Absolutely. But I love them. Watch. Here's the worst thing they can say to you. Well, you know, I don't agree with you, Steve. I don't see life that way. Okay. And then they'll look at me and go, do you believe I'm going to hell? I say, what difference does it make? You don't agree with me. See, people are funny. If they don't agree with Jesus, then what difference does it make what else I say? But something inside of them, something starts nagging at them. Something goes beyond logic in them that says, wait a minute, what if this is? Well, who is that? Holy Ghost. Saying, this is for you. I'm telling you, baptism's important. People ask me, well, why is baptism important? It confirms your confession. It confirms your confession. Yeah. Here, I show you. If baptism is not important for confirmation, then why right off the bat in Acts 2 were people baptized? Look what they said. They heard the message of the gospel. And guess what Peter preached to them? Jesus was crucified, resurrected in the way to salvation. And Raj, guess what they did? It said that they heard the word of God right here in verse 40. They heard the word of God and they repented. They realized, wait a minute, I got a problem. I need Jesus in this situation. With many other words, he warned them. He said, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. How many of y'all feel like we live in a corrupt generation today? Apparently there was one 2,000 years ago too. Isn't that amazing? How many of y'all are young couple? How many of y'all have ever heard this about young couples? So, or young people, okay? I didn't say you're together. You're just young people, okay? You're not together, are you? Okay. I mean, I'm not calling a prophecy out or anything, okay? Watch this. How many of y'all as a young couple, you heard this? Oh, these young people today. They're just, I mean, they're going crazy. All right, I got to pick somebody. Where are they? I got to find somebody young. Here, I'll go midway. Manly, and we kind of grew up, you know, during the same era of time. What did they say about our generation? No hope. No hope. They're going to hell. All right, I'm going to go a little more. Going to my retiree now. Mr. Johnson, sir, in your generation, what did they say? And when you were a young person, that would have been, they had cool cars back then, didn't they? Y'all weren't running around in Hondas with a motorcycle muffler on them calling it a hot rod, were you? You had the real thing. And what did they say? It's over. World will never be. Save yourself from sin is what this is saying. And there will always be sin. But here's what I want you to know. There will always be a Jesus, and that Jesus will always conquer sin. And he said, you better save yourselves from this time because look, he said, it's coming. There's a promise. His name is Jesus. Those accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Right off the bat, what was important to the church? Baptized. Now, I have all these pastors, they tell me, Pastor Steve, now you've put too much emphasis on baptism and too much emphasis on numbers. You know, I find football teams that can't score talk about defense instead of offense. If it's not about that, then you tell me why at the beginning of the church, the Holy Spirit went to the detailed moment to give me a number and pronounce baptism if that's not important. And if numbers aren't important, I want to know why God put a number down there. I mean, if they're just irrelevant and it's just about all us getting together and feeling hummy, goody, goody, warmy, warmy, feely, feely together in the church. Being together in the church isn't just about being together. It's about being together in such a way that the gospel of Jesus Christ can be recognized for those who are yet with Jesus so that they might be saved and added to that number daily. It's about that. Because that matters. Does that make sense? Okay. So baptism is that confirmation of your confession of God's salvation. Is that clear? Now, when I was a good Baptist, I used to tell you, it is the mere symbolic presence of God in His burial and resurrection statement. I still believe that, but it goes a little deeper than that. Because here's what I found. People that aren't baptized are always doubting. I'm just going to tell you some practical things I've discovered. They'll always doubt. They'll say, now, Pastor Steve, I know I've said I believe in Jesus, but I won't do the first thing he said, so I'm kind of wondering if he and I are really lined up. I've just found this. I want to make it real simple for you. When my daddy told me to take out the trash, and I took out the trash, I was always more comfortable when he came home at 5:30, 6 o'clock. If I'd taken out the trash. Now, if I hadn't taken out the trash, I really wasn't anxious for him to come home yet. Because guess what I knew? He's going to ask me. Did you do what I asked you to do? Watch this. When Jesus says, heirs, did you do what I asked you to do? Yes, Lord. I confess my sin to you. Yes, Lord. I was baptized in your name. Yes, Lord. I know I've been buried in you and risen in you. And I live under that confession and baptism. And I know that you're committed to me, Jesus. And you're the only way to heaven. And you're the only way I could get there. And your grace is the only way I get to participate in all this good stuff. And Lord, I just want to praise you because I know it's about you. That baptism will help you confirm all that. What do you think? So today, if you haven't been baptized, if you haven't been baptized yet, what am I highly going to recommend? You say, well, I'm embarrassed. You ain't embarrassed. Lord have mercy, we live in America. We're not embarrassed about anything. You ought to be wide open. If you've never been baptized, guess what? I want to invite you to be baptized. Hillview, we baptize all week long. We don't feel like you have to have 2,000 people gathered to watch you. Those who love you, that'll be enough. Because baptism is between you and Jesus. And it is that confirmation that you understand how committed Jesus is to you. And how much He loves you. And how He's never going to let go of you, and that love's never going to be separated. All right. Have I been clear today? I asked God that I'd get to be clear today. Am I clear? Does this make sense? Tom, what do you think? You're a lawyer. You know how to do. As my father would say, was my brief solid today? Perfect. Okay, good. Solid brief today. I wanted this to be solid because this is basic. Now, I want to tell you, if you're following Jesus, I want you to share with another human being. Mr. Gibson, sometimes people think I'm joking about that. You know that? They'll go, well, now, Pastor, that's for the deacons, isn't it? Lord, have you all seen our deacons? Don't leave it up to them. Have you all seen our pastors? Don't leave it up to us. It's all of us doing this together. Does this make sense? And if you're new here with us at Hillview, we want you to know that we love you and we invite you to the mission. We don't want you to just hang out and come to worship. We want you to be in part of inviting people to life. And that's what it means to follow Jesus Christ. But I want you to know that every one of you are special. And even if you don't feel special, I want you to know that you're special because Jesus said you were special. Period. And you say, well, Pastor Steve, I don't feel loved. Well, guess what? Tough, you are. Well, I don't think anybody likes me. Well, you know what? Who cares what you think? God said He loved you. Well, Pastor Steve, I just make decisions that are bad. Well, guess what? You're not alone. Why don't you make one that's good and say, Jesus, here I come with all my bad decisions. Here I come with my lonely feelings. And here I come with some poor thoughts. Lord, would you reorganize my life with your grace? Isn't that what we're asking God to do? Lord, would you reorganize my existence with your grace? I've never seen Him fail to answer that prayer. Amen? And so, Pastor Steve, I did that on Sunday and it didn't happen on Monday. It may be a work in process. How many of y'all find you get better every week? How many of y'all do this? Get better for 2 or 3 weeks and then you have a setback. Me too. But guess what I found? Since God's love never leaves me, then I can never give up, and eventually I'm going to get better. Amen? It's just kind of like raising children. Some children are just nice, and other children just don't do anything you say. But they're still your what? Children. Amen? Some of y'all are just easy to pastor. You say, this is what the Bible said, and y'all say, okay. And others of y'all, you just like a rebellious child. You got to go test everything God told you. And after you stick your finger in the light socket, then you're ready to do it. So, I mean, it's really like this. You can really just do what God asks you to do and just believe that it works with faith, and you get to look like Dr. Earl and Cindy. They've lived a long time. They've had a blessed marriage, but you all have done what God said do. True. Don't be ashamed of that. Say, hallelujah. There's the testimony, Earl. That's a beautiful testimony. I want to eliminate this testimony. I was totally dumb for 60 years of my life. I didn't do a thing that God told me to do. My brain's burnt out. My body's busted up. But thank God I at least got something to go to heaven. Well, I mean, that's a beautiful testimony too. But here's even a better one. I did what God told me to do. And I'm living a life beyond my understanding. Because what He says works. Does that make sense? All right. If you're offended, think through. Why am I offended? Here's what I know. You can't save yourself. So, Pastor Steve, you don't understand. I'm better than you are. I'm sure you are. That doesn't take much. Are you better than Jesus? That's what you have to become, better than Jesus. I just hadn't seen anybody better than Jesus, have y'all? So let Him love you today. Amen. All right, we got to wrap it up. We got to bring it in here. How many of y'all today need to say, Jesus, come into my life, forgive me of my sin. That's the greatest thing can happen to you today. Greatest thing can happen to you today. Lord, come into my life, forgive me of my sin. I believe you're it. John 14:6, Jesus said He's the way, the truth, and the life. He says, anybody that asks me to come into their lives, guess what He's going to do? Come. He's the way. Some of y'all need to do that today. How many of y'all have been following Jesus and you need to be baptized? Let's get that off on the front of the year and get that done, okay? Let me tell you some problems people have with baptism. I hear this all the time. Pastor Steve, I've received Jesus into my life, but I just got to get some things right before I can get baptized. See, God's calling right now to tell y'all that's the wrong way to think. And so here's what he said. This is how ridiculous. How many of y'all clean up to take a bath? You clean up to take a bath. No, you just what? And it does what? Baptism. See, how are you going to get things straightened up till you get confirmed what can straighten you up? Does that make sense, John? But I know what the devil does. The devil says, man, you're going to go get baptized next Sunday, and you had a beer on Wednesday. And see, down the south, he'll just grind you with that. And you just tell the old devil, yeah, I had a beer on Wednesday, but I tell you what, we're going to get in that baptistry, beer and all. And we're going to let God wash it away. Amen? See, that's what I'm trying to tell y'all. The church is scared of sin. I'm not scared of sin because I know grace is greater than sin. You know, I play spades every once in a while. If I'm sitting on the ace of spades, man, I'm laughing at everybody at the table. You know, and they'll throw out a big king of spades like they're a big boy. And I wait when I'm playing spades for that, you know, because people will throw it down like, y'all ever played spades? You know, the person's got the king of spades, they'll throw it down like. And I love it if they don't know where the trump is. You just pull that ace out and go, daddy's home. Boom. Just take your big old king and walk it back. It didn't do what you think it was going to do. Amen. Now, hold on, I want to tell you, sin won't do what you think it's going to do if you put the grace of God over top of it. God will wash that sin away, amen? But only Jesus will do it. So today, I know there's some of you that need to come and receive Jesus. There's others of you today that come, and it's time to confirm your confession in baptism, amen? Here's what confession says here. Confession says, Jesus, I will follow you. Next week, we're going to talk about commission. Which means, Jesus, I'll go do what you said. But we got to have confession before we can have commission. Make sense? I got to become one before I can go be one. Does that make sense? So why don't we stand up together and let's just have a prayer. Okay? I don't know when the next service is going to get in here because I'm not sure what God's going to do right now. I want us to stand and I want us to bear witness. Whoever's being baptized today y'all can come on in. There we go. Come on in, Pastor Jeff. I wanted us to stand before a baptism because I've taught today about what? The confession. Jeff, who's this beautiful person you got with you?
This is Brittany. And Brittany?
Brittany, would you all welcome Brittany to the baptism? Brittany, you get to teach today. Is that cool?
Yes.
Your baptism's going to teach today. Brittany, you've asked Jesus Christ to come into your life, yes?
Yes.
And so this baptism is now going to be a what? A confirmation of her confession and Jesus' commitment. Amen. So now, Pastor Jeff, let us be witness to that.
Brittany, do you believe that Jesus is God's only Son who lived a perfect life and then died on the cross to forgive you of your sin?
Yes.
And Brittany, do you believe that on the third day He arose from the grave and He's alive today?
Yes.
And have you repented of your sin and invited Jesus to be the Lord and Savior of your life?
Yes.
Has He done that?
Absolutely.
Amen. Well, Brittany, if you'll take my hand. It is because Jesus Christ has saved you and upon your confession of faith that I now baptize you in the name of Jesus by the power and authority of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And so, Brittany, may you be buried in Christ and risen in Christ. Let's pray with Brittany. Can we pray, Pastor Steve?
Absolutely.
Let's pray. Father, I just thank you so much for Brittany. And Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in her life. And Lord, I'm thankful for her little daughter, Madeline. And I'm thankful Amen. For her mom who's here today. And Lord, I just pray that as you have cleansed Brittany of every bit of her sin, Lord, that you would now set her on the path of following you. And Lord, as she raises a beautiful little girl, Lord, that you would make her an even better mother. And we know that her little daughter is going to be raised in the power and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, I just ask your blessing on Brittany now. In Jesus' name, Amen.
Amen.
Wow.
All right. This altar is open right now if you need to come. If you've never asked Christ into your life, wouldn't this be a great day? Jesus, I get what I heard today. Maybe you need to come right now. And you need to kneel down and say, God, make me an instrument of your grace. Hillview, God wants to do great things with this church. And I refer to Pam Danks over here because Pam was on the committee when this church had 30 people, Pam. But you know what? God wants to go beyond our wildest dreams. So really, every year, I'm always in the same spot. You know, we've been seeing hundreds of people come to the Lord, and I praise God for every single soul that comes to life. But I wonder if the enemy's not making us comfortable with hundreds because there could be thousands. Today, it's kind of wild. I see somebody that lives that way on the football field. Britt Farb's one of my heroes on the football field. And last year everybody said he was done. I mean, to watch him play, he even looked done at times. But I love people like that. And he's overcome alcohol and a lot of things. And you know what? Today, in the freezing cold, he's going to play in a championship. Because he didn't listen to what everybody else said. And today at this altar, I want you to listen to what Jesus said. He said you could be loved and you could be forgiven and you don't have to go to hell. And He's going to stay with you forever and ever and nothing can take that away. That's what I said in a nutshell. And I told you Jesus is Lord. And then Brittany, she went to those baptismal waters with Pastor Jeff and she said, yes, I'm buried in Christ. I'm risen in Christ and I'm connected to Christ for all eternity. And she wants anybody in this room to join her. If you've asked Christ in your life and you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus, it's time to get that done. It is important. We confess it at Hillview. Now, if you're thinking about making Hillview your church, I'm just going to let you know this is not a comfortable place. It's a blessed place. Not a comfortable place. You will be offended. In fact, I hope in the name of Jesus that the Holy Spirit offends the hell out of every one of us. That's my hope. I hope I leave every Sunday going, you know what, Jesus, there's a little less hell in me than there was, and there's a little more heaven being realized in me. That's called spiritual growth. This altar's open today. Don't stand there and stare today. Come, people are already coming to pray. And you come and be baptized. You come and receive Christ. You come and go to heaven. You come and get rid of hell. You come and know that God loves you no matter what. Girlfriend, you are loved by Jesus. Young man, He will keep you. Father, He is your hope. Grandfather, He's not let go. We got plenty of time to get saved right now. Amen? Nothing more important than that. Come on in the name of Jesus. Come on, come on. Come on.